Blitz, KFNC Mont Bellevue, Houston, a Gau Media station. If you're not down with that, we got two words for you.
Are you ready?
Hey, think you can tell us what to do? You think you can tell us what to wear? You think that you're better? Well, you better get ready. Bow to the masters.
From the renterswarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas, this is The Blitz on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Here's Fred Fowler and A.J. Hoffman.
And we are back on The Blitz. Hour number two, 713-780-ESPN's your number, 713-780-3776. You can also hit us up on The Blitz Facebook page. Find The Blitz, click like. There's also Twitter, at Fred Fowler. At AJ is the real, at John Snow with a zero, at Degeneres 975. You can also text the show, 713-780-3776. And if you're just getting in your cars and miss the 4 o'clock hour, some good stuff there.
I sent Juggalo Trey on a mission, an intern mission. How long ago was that, John?
Oh, I didn't even know you sent him on a mission.
You didn't see
what'd you send him for?
To go get me an energy drink.
Oh.
Uh-oh.
Good luck with that.
He asked me what gas station. I gave him the physical address of the gas station. He's going to use his GPS to get there.
There's like one right a block away.
I've got to have like a certain kind of energy drink.
Which one did you send him to?
The Time-Wise there on Westheimer and Chimney Rock.
Oh, okay.
No, he'll never be back.
That's a manageable place, right?
Yeah,
it's pretty easy. You just go over to Chimney Rock, you turn right. The only problem is looping back around because it's kind of hard to get.
At that Westheimer Alabama split, it's going to be really confusing.
No, getting back onto Westheimer to come back, because it's easy to turn right on Chimney Rock, especially this time of day. But turning back around is almost impossible. It's hard to get through there. You screwed him.
I trust his driving skills, though. He's a NASCAR guy.
Okay.
He's a NASCARian.
All right, so.
Oh, my Amex got charged. So that's good news.
Yeah.
That's half the battle.
Did you tell him what to not buy? Because he might buy something else.
No, I just told him to buy just that.
Okay. He's going to come back with something
My charge
wrong.
Is for $2.70.
Yeah.
I think you're okay then.
I think it's going to work out.
He's going to get you a flavor that you don't like.
I gave him my flavors.
God, it's kind of pathetic, but I there's only one energy drink I'll do, and it's only available at certain stores.
That's same me way. Too.
Yeah, and it's... And I love it because it's zero calories and it's got creatine in it. And it's just, you know, I have one before every show. But it's limited places, so I have to buy like five at a time when I go.
Yeah.
All right, so let's get into it. There he is.
Oh, Juggalo Trey. He comes in. What flavor?
Raspberry Blast.
Oh, he got the right flavor.
I was going to get both.
Nice.
You got my credit card?
Yeah, it's right here.
Oh, look at you. You weren't sure if I could afford two energy drinks?
Yeah, I was not sure.
Okay. Well, thank you, man.
You're welcome.
You did good. I want that card back.
Wait, sorry.
Yeah. Thanks. Good job, Juggalo Trey.
Now, say everybody wants to know what energy drinks.
I like this Zions. That's a free plug right there. Zero calorie, zero sugar. I like that. It tastes good to me.
It's pretty similar to Bang, which is the one I get.
Bang!
But
you have to say it like that.
But I only find it at three places. Fortunately, one of them's on the way here, so I can stop there, and they're well stocked. But I'm not giving away my place because then people will buy them.
People buy out your Bang?
Yeah.
Okay.
I don't want to buy my Bang. 713-780-ESPN. All right, I know you want to get into this Anquan Boldin thing.
All right, well, Anquan Boldin, first of all, quits on the Bills. No surprise. The Bills are horrible. He realizes that two weeks in.
He's also done. I mean, let's be honest. He's 36 years old.
Yeah. Well, to be fair, his last season, he was more productive than some other guys who tried to hang around a little bit too long. He at least had something in the tank. It wasn't a total disaster. But, yeah, I don't think he was going to do much this year. I think he's getting out at the right time. But it brought me to the obvious comparison between he and Andre Johnson. And in this town, of course, and this is where Andre Johnson played most of his career, everyone seems to think that he's a surefire Hall of Famer, which I don't. especially now knowing what we know about what it takes for a wide receiver to get in the Hall of Fame. But comparing Anquan Boldin and Andre Johnson, statistically, the guys are very close. Anquan Boldin has a ring, though, and played in another Super Bowl. It's kind of hard to put in Andre Johnson before Anquan Boldin, right? If you are inclined to put either of them in.
Well, and that's a different argument, but well, let's start with the numbers, because Boldin played in basically 9 more games in his career than Johnson did.
But they came into the league at the same time.
Yep. 1,076 receptions for Boldin, 1,062 for Johnson. So he had more receptions.
Okay.
Yardage, 13,779 for Boldin, 14,185 for Andre. So basically negligible. Touchdowns, 82 for Boldin, 70 for Johnson. And that's always going to be the thing that holds him back. Now, Johnson did have more big years. He went over 1,500 yards 3 times, had 115 catches 1 season, had another 1,400-yard season. Boldin's best statistical year was his rookie year, 1,300 yards.
And it was a record-setting rookie year for him. Here's where the conversation gets weird for me, because I always say if you're going to be a Hall of Famer, and my honest opinion, Fred, is that neither one of these guys are Hall of Famers.
And, yeah, that's kind of where I would land.
But if you're going to be in consideration for the Hall of Fame, at some point you should be considered one of the best, if not the best, in the league at your position. Andre Johnson, I think Calvin Johnson was the greatest receiver of that generation. I never thought Andre Johnson was a better player than Calvin Johnson.
But he certainly was in the conversation.
But there was a discussion receiver to be had that Andre Johnson was one of the best, if not the best, wide receiver in the NFL. I don't think Anquan Boldin was ever in that talk. In fact, most of Anquan Boldin's career was spent being the second best wide receiver on his team. So it's hard for me to think of him as a Hall of Famer. But when you look at those, when you stack those stats up between he and Andre, and then you consider that Boldin has a ring, and by the way, wasn't like a tag-along ring. He was a major reason why the Ravens won, not only won games in the playoffs that year, but why they won that Super Bowl. He was a factor. And then in the Arizona, when he was in Arizona, went to another Super Bowl, almost won another one there. It's hard for me to put Andre in ahead of him.
Yeah, when I look at it in the end, I don't – and again, I think too many guys get put in the Hall of Fame.
I think
now,
so,
now, football may be less so than some of the other sports. But to me, they're both Hall of Very Goods. And I think one of them gets in? Maybe. But, you know, that Super Bowl does make a difference. Although, there were times Andre Johnson was by far the best player on his team. I don't know that Anquan Boldin was ever the best player on his team.
Probably not.
And I'm not talking best receiver. I'm talking about best player.
Oh, yeah. Well, he was also playing on teams that went to the Super Bowl. And Andre Johnson was playing on teams that couldn't win a playoff game. Couldn't make it to the playoffs most of his career. So that
wasn't his fault, though. I mean, I think he was.
But that's what I'm saying. Yeah. It's not Anquan Boldin's fault that he wasn't the best player on his team either. Andre Johnson wouldn't have been the best player on that Cardinals team either. Mostly because Larry Fitzgerald's a better player than him.
I always thought they were pretty similar guys throughout most of their career.
Okay.
Fitzgerald's been better late in his career. Kilted Beer Guy says HEB sells your energy drinks in the Healthy Living department coolers.
Healthy Living, Fred? You're doing Healthy Living stuff?
It's probably basically the same thing that you're drinking over there.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, it's. Brother Bear says, will Randy Moss be the second unanimous first ballot Hall of Famer?
I don't think he will be.
Yeah, I
don't know that he'll even get in on the first. I don't know that he'll get in.
Just, and we've talked about this before, knowing how these guys think. I would say that of the group we've talked about, Boldin's a guy that they might put in before anybody else.
And that's what I'm saying. If they put Anquan Boldin in the Pro Football Hall of Fame before Randy Moss and T.O., we could just agree that it's a sham. It's a mockery.
I know it's a sham. We've talked about it.
Yeah.
And it's because of the way these guys think and how they see certain players. 713-780-ESPN is your number, 713-780-3776. And what was the other one you wanted to get to?
The other?
You had two things you wanted to get to.
Oh, Christ. I forgot. I have no idea.
That's what you should never do, two-part questions.
So the first part was?
You wanted to get into Bolden and Johnson.
But I had a second part to that particular question?
No, you had a different topic you wanted to get to.
No. I mean, well, I've got multiple topics to get to today.
Okay.
But I don't know that I had one that was directly related to that one.
Well, it wasn't related to that one. It was separate. You just said we hadn't talked about it yet and we needed to.
Oh, maybe it was Los Astros.
No, I don't think it was that. 713 says, Moss is a no-brainer first ballot. Check the numbers. You don't have to tell us. Go tell the Hall of Fame voters.
You won't get an argument from me. I think, check the numbers. T.O. is a first ballot Hall of Famer, except he's not. You don't have to try to convince me that Randy Moss should be in the Hall of Fame. I think T.O. and Randy Moss are, pardon me for doing hack sports radio, they're on the Mount Rushmore of wide receivers.
No, you didn't do that.
Yeah. And I don't know who the fourth guy is, but they're up there with Jerry Rice and some other guy. But those guys should absolutely be in the Hall of Fame. But I don't know what it's going to take, because Fred and I have had discussions with these salty old white men who are, for whatever reason, offended by T.O. and Randy Moss off the field and don't want to put them in. Which is fascinating.
Or blame
them
for being disturbances in the locker room. Yeah. They keep doing that.
Yeah, they're the reason why their teams didn't win championships. Okay. If you say so.
Yeah. Squeeze in a call real quick. Richard, go. Richard.
Hello.
Yeah. Hey, sports.
Yeah, sports. This is Richard.
Richard, your phone connection sucks, man. Are you on a... are you on speakerphone?
Yeah, I'm on my truck. Yeah, hold on.
Okay. This is Major Market Radio. This is how we do it.
Yeah. Hold on. We'll wait for you.
Hey, Richard?
Yeah, buddy.
You on a real phone now?
No, I'm not.
Okay. Well, just go ahead and talk. What do you got?
All right. I just wonder, guys. Tom Savage is probably not the best quarterback in the league.
No, obviously. He's not. I think we can agree.
But has he had a real chance?
He's had multiple chances.
He come out of a decent Pittsburgh team, out of Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania. And he come to a team that has O'Brien for a coach. He has not had a good quarterback coach. He has not had anyone that could actually be a mentor. So why is it that everybody wants to give this guy a push to the back when you got this young man coming in that is going to be good?
Well,
but why should this young man be done the same way that Tom Savage was done? Give Tom Savage a chance. Let him prove that he is really bad. Well, he has to prove he's terrible.
Tom Savage hasn't proved that he can stay on the field. That's part of the problem, is Tom Savage, he's been given multiple chances and he gets hurt.
Yeah, I'm not really sure what I'm trying to get across there.
You know what he's trying to get across, Fred. He came from Pittsburgh.
Pennsylvania.
He came here. He's playing for O'Brien. I get, and especially after what we saw Saturday night, there's going to be a lot of Tom Savage support. I get it. If Tom Savage was the answer, though, the Texans wouldn't have paid out the ass for Brock Osweiler. The Texans wouldn't have drafted. They wouldn't have given up two first-round picks to get Deshaun Watson. Those guys know more about Tom Savage than we do. Let's just go with that. They see him every day. Mm-hmm. They know what he is. They know what he's capable of. And yet they still want to give Brock Osweiler crazy money and give up two drafts worth of picks to get Deshaun Watson.
I'm all for throwing him out here at the beginning of the season and see what he does. And if he proves to be what he's always been, then you'll be justified in making your change. And I don't think Watson will ever give it up. And if he plays better than you expected, good. You buy more time. 713, what do you think about Rick and Morty? You recently binged. Love the show. I love that show. Pickle Rick is that Pickle Rick one is still my favorite. All right. Quick break. It's a Blitz on ESPN 97.5.
This is DeAndre Hopkins, wide receiver for the Houston Texans, and you're listening to ESPN 97.5.
And Adam lost an electron. Total bummer, because he really wanted to keep an eye on them. I caught our son sticking a key in the electrical outlet today. He was so shocked that I grounded him. What do light bulbs eat for fresh breath? A filament!
This has been the Infuse Energy Comedy Flash. Tweet us your favorite energy joke to @InfuseEnergy, and you may see it on your next invoice as the joke of the month. InfuseEnergy.com. Infuse energy into your life.
Mr. Crowley.
Howdy, Houston. Dave South here. Sports!
And we are back on the Blitz. 713-780-ESPN is your number. The people not really kind to Richard. So,
what?
Yeah.
It's all right, Richard. You call back again, try not to be on your speakerphone. But other than that, I'm all right with Richard. Richard's all right with me.
Lauren the Aggie said she's so glad he could clarify where the Steelers are located for us listeners. Well, I think it was University of Pittsburgh that he was trying to clarify. But
that's what he was talking about.
Yeah.
By the way, he only played 1 year at Pitt.
Yeah, he moved around.
Transferred because he was at Rutgers, and he sucked at Rutgers. So, I don't know.
We'll see. Maybe he turns out to be the next Kurt Warner.
I think what I've always thought about Tom Savage is pretty much true. Tom Savage, you could do worse than him as a backup quarterback.
And I think once he has to start facing real defenses, we'll see. We'll see. Lamont. You're on the Blitz. Go.
Hey, man, I think as a Houston fan, as a Texan fan, I think Andre Johnson is a Hall of Houston. But the dude is not a Hall of Fame. And I want to just lean on a couple of points that you guys have, like, pinpointed the politics of it all. And I've listened and followed John for some time, John McClain, that is, for some time. And if John McClane had to go to bat for Warren Moon and the Dr. Doom dude, and he barely got Warren Moon in there, and I don't even think Dr. Doom got in, and John McClane is a senior person at the Hall of Fame, and I'm telling Fred something like he don't know. I'm pretty sure he is aware of that. I don't know if Houston is going to have another person if Andre Johnson do not get in during John McClain's tenure on the Hall of Fame committee, I'm not sure Andre Johnson is going to get in. And plus, he's never had double-digit touchdowns. I love Andre Johnson, but I don't see any way he gets in. And that's all I have, fellas.
All right. We agree, Lamont.
Yeah, I remember
Lamont and I disagree often on the interwebs.
Really?
But today, on that phone call,
you're on the same page.
We agree. We're aligned.
And I remember one of those guys told me how John McClain had to go to bat to get Lawrence Taylor in because there were a bunch of guys.
That's absurd.
I know that because of the off-field stuff.
Probably the best defensive player in the history of football.
Yeah, but John.
Or at least the most dominant.
But John was one of the guys who fought hard for him, and he got in. And it's kind of that's one of those. At least that's what I was told. And I tend to believe it. 713-780-ESPN is your number. Interesting. Do you think if Andre Johnson and Anquan Boldin switch teams, the Ravens still win the Super Bowl?
That's tough.
Yeah.
Andre Johnson, like when that happened, Andre Johnson was already in a pretty steady decline.
Yeah, that's hard to say. Because he never really got a chance to play with that kind of team.
Yeah, and never got a chance to play with that kind of quarterback. I mean, Joe Flacco, that playoff run was as good as it gets. Probably, but I can't say with any certainty.
See that Chris Christie has dropped out of contention to do radio?
Did he drop out, or was he told that it ain't you, bro?
I'm probably going to go with the latter, but he's got to save face a little bit, right? You can't come out and say, oh, man, want me. He seemed a little thin-skinned for that job.
Extremely. He'd take calls anytime somebody would say something bad about him. It'd be 10 minutes of, oh, you know, arguing back. You got to get used to it. Like, you get used to people just telling you you suck, and you just say, okay, make a counterpoint, and then you just move on.
Yeah. Or
some people are always going to think you suck.
Yeah.
A lot of people think I suck, and that's all right. You can't please them all.
No. And there's a lot of people who think you suck just because you're doing the job and they're not. It's like, I could be doing that job. Sounds easy.
Everyone could do their job better than us. All our listeners can do the job better than us.
Absolutely.
It's not a hard job, Fred. Come on.
You see, Coach Herman's doesn't seem too thrilled about his quarterbacks. Said he's confident they're going to be a winner this year. But they're not led by a dynamic standout quarterback.
Yeah.
He says, we're not dynamic there. We're not Vince Young. We're not Braxton Miller. But we're good enough to win with. We're going to win with great defense, he said.
You're not Heisman Trophy caliber level at quarterback. All right.
I think we knew that. He's probably just trying to motivate these guys a little bit. Tom Herman will get good play out of his quarterbacks.
I think so.
I'm not too worried about that. So... 713-780-ESPN is your number, 713-780-3776. What are your reasonable expectations for them this year?
I think reasonable expectations, 8-9 wins.
Kind of with you.
I mean, that's on the high end of expectations. I mean, I saw somebody, I guess it was Chip Brown, and we talked about that last week, right? The Chip Brown projected them to go 10-1. Okay.
Yeah. It might be a bit much.
That's stretching it, but I think they can win 8 or 9 games. And when I look at their schedule, and there's games on there that are on paper daunting, but I think are winnable. I think Oklahoma State's a winnable game for Texas. I think Oklahoma, with the Bob Stoops situation, is a winnable game for Texas. I think at USC is borderline winnable if they come in hot, especially with USC coming in. They'll come in off of a Stanford game. They're not going to have the same lead in that Texas has there. But do I think they're going to win all those games? Probably not.
Yeah, I think at USC is going to be tough. I think. At TCU is going to be tough.
At TCU is definitely tough.
At West Virginia is not an easy trip. And then you got two Oklahoma schools. But let's say, and Kansas State is never a pushover, but let's just say none of those go your way. That's an 8-win season.
Yeah.
And I think that'd be okay. And I think one or more is going to go their way. I don't think they're winning 10, but I think 8 or 9 is very reasonable.
I'm with you. Yeah, I think if they go 8-4, 9-3, especially after what they've had the last several years.
It's a good step.
Man, they're going to be thrilled. Thrilled. But, of course, you know Longhorn fan, they'll complain that they should have won 10 or 11.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
It's a big deal to lose at Texas. A lot of people have been asking me what I think UH is going to do this year because I haven't really addressed it. I have my concerns about the – and not so much the coaching change because I think Major's going to be a really good coach. But they've lost a lot of talent off this team over the last 2 years. All guys that Tony Levine recruited for the most part. But you look at how many guys are on NFL rosters that played for UH over the last 2 seasons. And Greg Ward was a hell of a college quarterback. I think that's going to be tough to replace. And you know, I think early on might be a little bit of a struggle for them. So, and I know they fire coaches for only winning 8 games there, but I think 8 would be a good first season, considering what they've lost.
I think at this point, they're not firing anybody for winning 8 games.
No, probably not.
Lauren says, if you suck at your job, I'm not sure how I'm still employed. I don't know what she does, but I probably would have gotten fired from her job. And Lamont says, Texas will win the Big 12. Crazier things have happened. It wouldn't shock me. If Texas somehow does go 11-1, they're in the playoff.
Probably, yeah.
Yeah, because remember, we talk about this all the time. If Oklahoma State goes 11-1,
it's iffy.
They're iffy.
They're going to need help elsewhere.
Yeah, if TCU or Baylor goes 11-1, they're probably not going to the playoff. if Texas or Oklahoma goes 11-1 in the Big 12, they're going to the playoff. There's almost zero doubt that those two programs, if they're 11-1, they're going to the playoffs.
Just like if a Notre Dame goes 11-1, they're going to.
Exactly.
So,
I mean, so unless there's like four or five unbeatens, chances are good that an 11-1 Texas would be in the playoff. But that just seems tough to me. I have a hard time picturing them winning at TCU this year. You know,
I don't know what TCU is going to be, but that's a game that's going to be tough.
I mean, I'm just thinking that's coming off that's after the stretch of at Iowa State. And, of course, that's coming off the USC game at USC. Then they have a bye, but they're at Iowa State, Kansas, OU, Oak State, at Baylor. Then you close out at TCU before Kansas. That TCU game seems problematic to me, just looking at it on paper.
Well, the other game that might be sneaky is Iowa State, especially coming off of USC. I mean, I don't think they'll lose that game, but
Iowa State owns their ass, too. Hmm? Iowa State, Texas is now Iowa State's bitch. And Kansas. Better watch out for them.
All right. 713-780-ESPN is your number. And if you have not watched Game of Thrones, you do not want to tune in next segment because it is time for Thrones Talk.
Time. All right, guys. I got to tell you about dirt-free carpet cleaning. Summer means lots of foot traffic coming through your house. It's a great time to get your carpets and tile floors cleaned with dirt-free carpet cleaning. The summer special, for a limited time only, Dirt Free will clean that one room free and give you a $100 free speed dry with any purchase. That's right, a free room cleaned with a speed dry with any purchase over $120. The free room can be carpet, can be tile, doesn't matter. Don't miss out on this deal. The other guys are leaving behind too much water, soapy residue, unhealthy chemicals that trap dirt and allergens that can make your family sick. Not Dirt Free. Go toxic chemical free with Dirt Free Carpet. They're using the best technology in the game. They've been doing it for over 30 years, cleaning upholstery, floors, even your air ducts. Call them right now, 281-DIRT-FREE. Tell them you heard it here on ESPN 97.5. They'll clean one room free with any purchase and throw in a free speed dry. It's 281-DIRT-FREE, 281-347-8373 for Dirt Free Carpet.
ESPN 97.5. From the renterswarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas, this is The Blitz on ESPN 97.5. Here's Fred Fowler and AJ Hoffman.
I'm so sorry. I wish I could take it back. I wish we'd never gone.
I don't. If we hadn't gone, I wouldn't have seen. You have to see it to know. Now I know. The dragons are my children. They're the only children I'll ever have. Do you understand? We are going to destroy the Night King and his army. We'll do it together. You have my word.
Thank you, Danny.
Danny.
He was the last person who called me that. I'm not sure, was it my brother? Not the company you want to keep.
Right. Not Danny. How about my queen? I'd bend the knee, but...
What about those who swore allegiance to you?
They'll all come to see you for what you are.
I hope I deserve it.
You do.
Just bone already.
It's gonna happen. It's weird because it's
aunt and nephew
sex is weird, but you can tell they both want it.
No, but for a Targaryen, that's actually much better than brother-sister sex.
It's true.
Yeah.
She's going to end up getting pregnant anyways, just because they've been... The show, what they do is they throw all the stuff that's going to happen in your face a lot. Like saying, like, you know, the signs of, oh, I'm not a Stark, you know, and obviously he's a Targaryen. And then all this stuff about being barren and not being able to have kids, the dragon are the kids, so she's going to end up getting pregnant.
And then Jorah says something to the effect of, and your children can keep the sword, that kind of stuff. Yeah. They did hit us over the head with. In fact, the whole Tyrion talking about the plan of secession, which if I'm her, I'm kind of with her on this. It's like, first off, you know, as much as I love Tyrion, the character, he has got to be the worst hand that ever lived. And this stupid idea to go get a white, which I said last week was stupid, was going to end in the Night King getting some kind of way to get through. Guess what? He's got a dragon now.
Yeah.
He's going to take that wall down, and he would have never gotten through if you guys hadn't have done that. And if you really think you're going to get Cersei on your side, then once again, you're about to get outplayed, Tyrion. There's no way Cersei's teaming up with them. On the other hand, yeah, it's funny because when I first watched the episode, I enjoyed it. But maybe it's because we analyze the crap out of this stuff too much. A lot of issues. I thought the writing in this one wasn't as good. I still don't understand what the whole Sansa Arya bit was about. I mean, it almost seems...
Yeah, why is Arya so salty?
It just seems contrived.
It's stupid.
It does seem contrived.
And why is Littlefinger trying to play them against each other?
Because that's what he does. But, I mean, if I'm going to play two chicks against each other, probably not going to be those two. Because you don't want to get caught in the middle of that.
No.
But I thought the writing was
funny. Plus, Arya could kill him.
Yeah, and it just moved. It's moving so fast now that I just think they're skipping over things and little stuff like, okay, where the hell did the Night King get chains to go get the dragon? And how come some of them fell in the water and then were able to come up out of the water and some of them just disappeared? So
how the hell did they put that chain on the dragon?
Well, I'm guessing you had one of your White Walkers swam down there. Not the Whites, the White Walkers. Swam down there, tied it up, and then they pulled it.
Come on, bro.
I'm just saying. They're extremely strong.
Okay. Where'd they get the chain from?
Well, I don't know. That's part of my point. There's just all this little stuff now that they've skipped over.
I feel like it's almost gotten to a point of, and while I love the way the entire story is headed, like it's good. The storyline that, like, the direction we're headed in is fun. But I feel like they've gotten lazy on presenting it to us.
No, what they're doing is they're sacrificing logic for plot. So there's no damn reason why they should be behind the wall, but they're doing it because, hey, we got to get the Night King something to arm himself against the dragons, so let's give him a dragon. So that's the way that they're going to get up there.
It just seems like because they're mashing so much into these episodes... Which, by the way, then they just should have done more episodes. I know that you disagree with me on the whole shallow lake thing. It's another one of these things that had they really not rushed it, they probably could have done it the right way. This dragon thing was another example of it, and I think that they realize, and it pisses me off because they've spent this time building a pretty smart audience. And then they're kind of treating us like we're dumb here at the end.
Well, no, and that was part of the issue I had with it the more I watched it. And Lamont brought up a great point in an article he wrote for us today. Why didn't the Night King just nail Drogon, who was on the ground?
Right.
Why is he throwing it at the...
The one in the sky.
Yeah.
And by the way, what kind of magical stick is that he's got anyway? Where did that come from?
No, they've had it.
What is it?
It's like a spear. John.
What's it made of?
I don't know.
Evil.
It's got to be. Well, Explain that to me while we're at it.
Battle at Hardhome, when John first, you know, battles one of these White Walkers, they have it.
Well, and then somebody brings up a great question about, I want to know how that raven traveled so fast to Dragonstone. That's the other thing. The time frames, they basically have just thrown time frames out the window.
Yeah, well, I've been going back and forth on Twitter with Dustin. He doesn't mind it, but
Dustin doesn't care about anything. He doesn't like. He's just like, he's soaking in whatever they're giving him. He loves it. That kind of stuff pisses me off, though.
I would like it if they gave us a little bit more in terms of reference. And I did like the part where Sansa was talking and said, "I haven't heard from John in a few weeks," and I was like, "Okay, so John's been gone at least 2 or 3 weeks," and I was like, "That makes sense." And the Raven to Dragonstone and back didn't make too much sense. because that Raven would have to travel pretty far. Not the furthest place to go, but it doesn't make sense that it would go there and come back within a night span, because they were on that rock for what looked like a night.
The other thing that I'm getting a little frustrated with, every battle scene turns out the same. Somebody comes in and saves them at the last minute.
Yes.
And it's like, let's mix it up a little bit, guys. You're falling into predictability. And, you know, we were joking about it last week. Who's going to be the one to come save? And I think Jong is the one who guessed Ben.
I said Benjen, and then I think Fred said Daenerys.
Okay.
No, well, I said Arya.
You were both right. Yeah, oh, you no. said Arya? Yeah. Okay. Well, whatever. Either way, it's so again, I don't want to complain too much because I like where the story's headed, but the presentation I feel is lacking a little bit compared to what we've had in seasons past.
You know what I think contributing to part of this problem, and I think last season they were trying to, parts of last season was really, really slow. And I think they did that because they were trying to get George to finish the books before this season came out. And by the time that this season, the pre-production, when they were writing the season, they were realizing he wasn't going to finish the books by the time this season came out. And I think they fit a lot of stuff into this season, which they could have done last season. And I think part of the problem was because George was nowhere near finishing writing Winds of Winter.
Man of the Pats fan said they could have gotten the chains from Hardhome. It's a deep water harbor. Those are ship pulling chains.
Well, and also... In the area they were in, there was a shot over a bird's eye view shot of them pulling the chains, and there was a ship right there, so they could have got it out of that ship.
Well, let me talk about some of the things I liked in this episode, though, because I thought that, for one thing, that was a powerful scene, the dragon getting whacked.
Yes.
That was pretty badass. I also thought the fire swords I loved, and... I also thought that there was some good mix there between the Avengers, basically.
That was the dialogue between Tormund and the Hound. Yeah. That was amazing.
Yeah, that was really good. And so I don't want to. And I thought the battle scene itself was pretty badass. Although at some point, and again, we're talking about a show with dragons and little people.
Yeah.
And ice guys who throw spears that kill things, but. The believability of Jon Snow being able to hold off 500 wights before he gets rescued with four people, a little much. It's getting to be a little much.
It was funny when he was like, fall back, fall back. I was
to
like,
where?
You guys are surrounded. Where are you falling back to?
But the part with Tormund where it looked like Tormund was about to get whacked.
Oh, that was very reminiscent of Jon and at the Battle of the Bastards.
Yeah.
And the Hound, for some reason, was just standing there watching him getting pummeled by these, you know, wights.
Yeah.
Maybe he was like, you know, should I save this guy? I don't really like this guy. Should I save him? Okay, I'll save him.
And here's the other thing. It's so predictable that who's the most important person that died in last night's episode?
Thoros,
yeah.
Where would you rank him on, if you were ranking the importance of all Game of Thrones characters? Is he in the top 50?
Well, of the seven.
Top 50,
of
yeah.
The, okay.
Of the same main characters that were out beyond the wall, he was the last one.
Right.
He ranked seven.
No one important was going to die. And that's gotten to be a theme. Like, had the Hound died or...
Or Tormund?
Yeah, Tormund. Like, that would have been like a, whoa, they just killed that dude off. Instead, they killed off the people who were, like, packing their stuff around.
Oh, they were red shirts.
Those are
Star Trek red shirts. Yeah.
They killed off every scrub and the least important guy of the seven. And that's what they did.
Yeah, I thought going to this episode, I predicted that Beric Dondarrion was going to die. And he's probably number six on this list.
Well, those two, I mean, they're kind of like a coupled entry, right?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
They're the same guy, just they both have flaming swords.
And one of the, I thought the bear was badass.
Oh, the bear was badass.
The bear was pretty badass.
But what I don't
get. Who did he kill? A nobody.
What I don't get is that he was getting thrashed on the ground. He got picked up and thrown around. And I was like, how did he survive that? He was still alive.
Yeah.
I mean, he died the next day, but he was still alive. He was walking. They cauterized the wound, but he got up and walked around.
Disco says, not to mention the guy who ran to Eastwatch. What is he, Usain Bolt?
That's right. Yeah. How did Gingery get there so fast?
Now, it does kind of make sense. It took him maybe, like, if you were watching the episode, it took him probably half a day to get there. And Gingery probably took half another day, maybe less than half a day to run back. I mean, it kind of makes it of all the plot holes, that's the least holy.
Well, yeah. Well, it was hard. It was hard to follow, but yeah, I think they did that intentionally. So, and somebody brings up a good point, dude. They killed a dragon. That's worth at least three main character deaths. That's a fair point.
I think it would have meant more if it was Drogon, though. But yeah, they're never killing off
Drogon.
You can't
kill Drogon. Drogon's the badass.
But of the three, Viserion was going to get killed because it's named after her brother, and her brother was a douche.
Yeah.
But now, you want to talk game changer. I got to make the Night King minus 300 now. Dany was the favorite, but now he's one more dead dragon away from having a huge advantage. Yeah, I'm going Night King wins this thing.
Okay.
Been saying it all along.
Time out here. Do we have time to keep talking about this, or do we need to hit a break?
No, we hit a break. We can come back and keep it going.
Okay, so it's going to continue. Like, we got to keep this going because I've got some questions about this stupid dragon glass.
I got more complaints.
And how do they all know about this dragon glass?
Well,
but they're not using it.
I want to talk about
that.
That's
my point, too.
I want to talk about that.
All right. Guys, as the seasons change, you want to revitalize your outdoor living area. Like, maybe you want to spend more time outdoors, but you're not pleased with the way it looks. Call the pros at Allied Outdoor Solutions. Let them set you up with some carved stone, which will give you the superior look of real stone over your existing surface for less money. It's troweled, hand-carved, custom-colored to match your home's brick, so it looks amazing. It's twice as strong as concrete, slip-resistant, and Allied stands behind carved stone with a 7-year warranty. If your backyard's currently a blank slate, no worries. They'll build it from the ground up. Whether you want a functional concrete patio or you want to go big boy and get the outdoor kitchen and patio cover, they can do that. Residential and commercial projects. They offer 0% financing for up to 18 months. Their Best Picks report certified each of the last 5 years. This is a company that you want to deal with. Stop by the Allied Outdoor Solutions showroom, I-10 in the Beltway, or check them out online. AlliedOutdoorSolutions.com. You can check out the Carved Stone Projects photo gallery there and see what they could do for your backyard. That's AlliedOutdoorSolutions.com, or give them a call for a risk-free estimate. 713-465-0400 for Allied Outdoor Solutions.
Answer that?
To call into the HRNP listener line, dial 713-780-ESPN. ACA could be tweaked, reformed, or repealed in the future. But for now, employers must comply. Visit HRP.net for help.
From the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas, this is The Blitz on ESPN 97.5. Here's Fred Fowler and A.J. Hoffman.
And we are back on The Blitz. And if you still haven't watched Game of Thrones, you probably need to go away again because we're not done. We're not done, and we're going to keep going. And I got a bunch of stuff I want to get to also.
So Pooch says, I'm 80% sure Jorah was using dragon glass. I saw him pull out a piece of dragon glass.
Yes, I think so, too.
Nobody else brought any?
That's one of the things that I have a complaint about. Yeah. You could take 30 seconds to explain or pass out. When they're crossing that gate, just have a scene where they have a bucket of dragon glass or something where they can just walk by, grab a piece, and then go out the gate, and you can explain that they brought some dragon glass and they're going to use it. It doesn't take that much to explain dragon glass.
Dustin says, how the hell can the time frame in this episode piss you off, but Arya never having seen a winter doesn't? From what I understand, like, winter, it's not like it just comes around every year. Like, when they say winter is coming, it's not like a yearly event like it is here, where, and it barely is an event here. It's probably like a Texas winter. Every 10, 12 years, we get a real winter where you have to have a coat and things like that. I think that's what it's like for them, except it just winter gets way colder. So I don't know. I think like there,
but you don't put dragon glass on Gendry's hammer,
right?
Or anybody else's stuff. I mean, that's the whole point of going to get it, right?
Like, it's okay, cool. The guy puts fire on his sword. That's, yeah, we know that's that cool works. And all, but that didn't seem to stop the bear. You put a little t- tie some dragon glass to your stupid sword, light that on fire, and then stab him. I mean, you'd be a lot better off.
Yeah, Jorah had to basically whip out the dragon glass, come by and stab the bear, and that's how he died. Yeah.
Hmm. The other thing, there's a couple of things I wanted to get to. That, first off, you know who the big winner was last night? Cersei.
Yeah.
By not even being on the show, she was the winner. Because now, one less dragon, and you know she's going to set them up where they're all going to have to go fight the White Walkers, and then she's going to only have to deal with what's left. And so, big win for Cersei.
Yeah.
And there, you know there's no way she's teaming up with them. Unless she's pretending.
And in the preview, it looks like they were in a dragon pit. I think that's what the next episode's called.
Oh, that's where the big meeting will be.
Yeah, and you're... I don't predict good things for the protagonists here because they're in a little pit, and I feel like Cersei's going to do something to surround them.
Well, here's the deal.
I saw a lot of Dothraki and Unsullied sitting outside, though, so I don't know if that's a good idea.
But let's be realistic about what this show is doing. How long after next Sunday are we going to wait till we see another episode?
Probably another year.
Okay. Conservatively, another year. What do they do every time they break for a long time? They leave you thinking, oh, the heroes are doomed. That's what they always do. That's what they're going to do next Sunday. Like you said, the protagonist, it doesn't look great for them. There's no way it's going to look great for them at the end of next Sunday. Because if at the end of next Sunday they're kicking all the White Walkers' ass, no one's going to be, oh my gosh, I've got to see what happens next.
Yeah.
But if the Night King is standing over Daenerys about to rape and pillage her, everyone will be like, oh my God, I got to know what happens.
Well, I think they're not going to even cross the wall until the very end of the episode. I think at the very end of the episode, I think what's going to end up happening is either the dragon's going to make a giant, you know, ramp over the wall, or they're going to break that wall down, and then they're going to cross Eastwatch, and then you get seen.
Yeah, I don't know what they're going to do.
Hmm. And then we learned something else kind of important, that if you kill a White Walker, then all the whites it made blow up too.
Yes.
Yeah.
Which means basically if you just kill the Night
King.
Just
kill those guys.
Kill the Night King, it's over.
And you kill the dragon, you kill everything.
Yeah.
Easier said than done, I think.
It is now because he's got a dragon and a badass spear.
Well, yeah, but how about use some dragon glass on that dragon?
You could use a scorpion with dragon glass.
Yes.
Yeah, but that would require Cersei helping out. Not going to happen. But and then my final point is, what the hell's going on with Bran? I mean, what is his use in this?
Was he even in last week?
No,
this
he
episode?
Wasn't.
No, he wasn't.
But there. I mean, isn't he supposed to be useful for the Long Night, which is coming?
I don't know. I don't know what's going on with it. He's not Bran anymore, all right? He's a three-eyed raven. Let's get that straight.
I think he's going to probably trying to warg into one of the whites or warg into the dragon or something.
What Stark kid is useful right now?
Snow.
But he's not technically a Snark. Well, he is.
Okay.
He's
on the mother's
Stark.
Side.
He's the only one. He's the only one.
Well, there's four.
Three of them are completely useless right now. Arya, coming into this season, was like one of my favorite characters.
Oh,
what's her deal now?
You know what? She started off with a bang, though. She was like the Falcons in the Super Bowl, man.
But now she's just like a whiny little bleep. I don't like it. I don't like her anymore.
Yeah, all that training to become no one, she's kind of like, she's picking and choosing what she wants to use from all that training, and she just still has this vengeance and kind of this attitude towards Sansa, and it's not healthy. And the big thing about that is all they have to do is just sit down and talk about what each of them went through, and they can finally empathize with one another. But no, I think that's more for plot reasons. And I think same with Bran telling Jon that he's a Targaryen. He could just send a raven, tell Jon he's a Targaryen. But for plot purposes, I think they're kind of skipping over these kind of things.
Well, I think it's setting up for a really good finale, which hopefully we'll set up next year where, you know, I think there's just not that much left for them to do in terms of, I mean, basically
no,
it's
all the, battle now.
Yeah, it's all battles. You know what? I want to skip ahead to season 8 because here's what I think is going to happen. You know, it'd be brilliant. Like, they'll get all these guys up at Winterfell and set up this great defense. and the Night King goes and takes King's Landing.
That could be that part could of what she saw, yeah, because Daenerys when, saw in her dream.
Listen, and when Jon asks how many people are in King's Landing,
no one.
That'd be an awful lot of rights.
I'm starting to come around with you, Fred, that you know, the Night's King being on the throne at the end is not out of the realm of possibility. In fact, it wouldn't surprise me because we're getting – there's not going to be a happy ending.
No.
You know, I can't picture, like, Daenerys and Jon holding hands in front of a crowd of loving, adoring people and then taking a bow. That's not going to happen. Yeah, it'd be too easy.
That's too much like Return of the King. That's not going to happen.
Yes, it'd be too easy.
I think ultimately Dany takes the throne and something bad happens to Jon.
One of them will die.
Yeah. I think Jon Snow dies.
Maybe both, and their child is the one that
runs. But by the way, if Jon Snow was going to die, he fell into an icy lake with people dragging him down and wearing like 18 fur coats.
Remember, the Lord of Light did not bring him back to die.
Yeah, whatever. All right. You know, it's funny because last night's episode, I enjoyed it, and it pissed me off at the same time.
Yeah, I felt the same way. The first time I watched it, I go, okay, that's pretty good. Then I start picking out the details, and it's like...
I was very...
It's different than the dragons come and burn up the Lannister army.
Oh, no, no. That's
like, that one little thing at the end pissed me off, but overall, I thought it was a badass episode.
I think that's the best episode of the season, one.
There was enough nonsense and confusing bleep in this episode to almost... turn me off to the whole greatness of the episode. Because there was some good stuff, but there's also a lot of BS.
Yeah, I would have liked more than a five-second reunion between Ben and John, too.
You know?
Yeah, that was such a driving point at the whole series.
It's so funny.
That's like, essentially what got him killed is when they told him they had news on Uncle Ben and he comes outside.
It's a cameo.
You know what? I wouldn't have minded a two-hour episode because if you do a two-hour episode, you can actually, you know, play up everything that you missed out on. And, well, one of the reasons I think they had to make the season short was budget reasons. And
budget? These guys hurting for money?
I'm sure they're cutting a lot of...
These dudes are wiping their ass with money.
Well, one of the reasons why you don't see any direwolves anymore is because of budget. John's direwolf hasn't died.
Because of budget?
Yeah. They took the budget from what they would have done with John's direwolves
into
the
wolves. What is this, radio?
Like into the dragons.
They like refuse to put the money that they're making tons of money. They're like, oh, we're not putting that into the product. That's going into our pockets.
Well, also you got to realize that they're paying all these actors 20-something million.
They didn't have to pay George R. R. Martin to write an episode. You know, they skipped out on that. I'm guessing he didn't have craft services this year. That's got to be millions in savings. That dude's not eating on your dime. All right, enough of that. I got to tell you about Triangle Energy, guys. Shopping for electricity rates, it can be painful. It can be like trying to make sense of last night's episode of Thrones. It can be that painful. But Triangle's trying to make it easier. Signing up is simple and fast. There's no hidden fees, no interruption in service. Take advantage of their new low 12-month rate locked in at 8.1 cents when you use the promo code ESPN. When you get home, compare this offer to your last bill. In fact, if your usage is about 2,000 kilowatt hours a month, which is average for these hot Texas summers, your total bill would be around $170. If you're paying anything more than that in the summer, you need to switch. 877-93-EAGLE or visit TriEagleEnergy.com. That's TriEagleEnergy.com. Don't forget to use the promo code ESPN to get yourself the best savings. PUCT license number 10064 for TriEagle Energy.
Happy birthday, ESPN 97.5. We're 10. If you thought we were degenerates before, wait until we hit puberty.
Hold on to your butts.